I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root Artist feature, and I'm pleased today to be speaking with Deborah Saucewer. Deborah, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for asking.
Thanks for being here. I have a quick question I want to get off my chest because I'm very curious about this and because I care. How is Orion doing?
Orion is doing great. He is in a little bit of need of new rollers, but otherwise, he's able to run, and I have a little a tinker thing. If you think of the Tin Man from Wizard of Oz and how he was able to oil himself up, I have one of those oiler cans. So that's how Orion stays in tip-top shape.
Well, let's let our listeners in on this secret that we're talking about. You are a printmaker.
Yes.
Orion is your printing press.
Correct.
Tell Atlanta and beyond the story of how you came to come into ownership of Orion.
Well, I learned the art of letterpress when I was a master's student at Pratt Institute in New York. And when I graduated, I moved back down to North Carolina, which is where I'm from. And I was trying to find a means of making artwork and possibly using printing as my bread and butter. Otherwise, I work in food service, which is great to get your exercise in and get a free meal and have a great community. But I wanted to make my life as a printer and a printmaker. So there's a website called briarpress.com, and it's basically the Craigslist for letterpress equipment and presses. And there was a gentleman who was auctioning off his letterpress in Asheville. So I was the highest bidder, and I attached a hitch to my Toyota Camry and drove to the mountains and picked Orion up. I rented a forklift for the day, and the press itself weighs upwards of 1,200 pounds. It was built in 1901. And the gentleman I bought it from was only the second owner of that press. The original owner was a poet and writer, so he would publish his own writing. And then when he was quite old, he sold the press to the next owner, who was a professor, and he used it as a hobby. So he had it for probably 40 years. And then his wife said, after he retired, "You have too many hobbies. You need to give up something," because he was a woodworker too. So he put the press up for sale. So that's how I got Orion.
And so the duo of Deborah and Orion make up Artemis.
Correct.
So yeah. Let everyone know about Artemis.
So the Artemis Press is the letterpress division of my printmaking studio. Artemis is a Greek goddess. She's the goddess of the hunt. She's a virgin goddess. I think that she is known for her skillful knowledge of animals and husbandry in the woods, and also her companions. And I just thought it was a beautiful name. And Orion is a dog that is associated with Artemis. So having the press be Orion, having the press name be Artemis in terms of its commercial viability made sense to me, just spoke to me. So I make beautiful invitations. I design stationery, and I can make custom business cards and other prints for people.
Now, Deborah, help me understand this, because some things in school I was good at, some things I was not.
I doubt that.
The Greek gods and I guess Roman gods mixed in there together. I thought Orion was a hunter.
Orion was a hunter. He observed Artemis while she was undressed.
Ooh.
With her maidens.
Okay.
So Artemis turned him into a hound, a hunting hound, and the hunt of Artemis killed him.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Not quite the happy ending I thought when I asked that question, but thank you for letting me know. I didn't know that was how it happened. Because when I think about When I think about Orion, that's the only constellation that I can easily identify in the sky at night because it's very distinctive. And I guess thanks to Orion Pictures, the movie company that used to show the constellation in the sky, so now I can pick it out.
Yes. Well, I mean, you can be romantic. He loved her. He followed her to the ends of his life and then into the sky. So they are forever linked.
Okay. That seems happier. Well, when it comes to your art, I would love to get your perspective on identity and community, because you are very rooted in the LGBT community.
Yes.
And I know that you are gearing your art towards that community. So I would love to get your perspective of that.
Sure. I'm gay. although the gayest thing about me has always been my girlfriend. I would love to be, I feel like we're, I mean, especially with what's going on in politics right now, or one facet of what's going on in politics, with marriage equality being such a forefront, I would love to be the go-to printmaker to help express the joy of alternative couples coming together and celebrating commitment, celebrating events. I am a huge advocate for equal rights in all its capacities, and I think that the LGBT movement right now is the last bastion of discrimination. That's not true. I think that there's a discrimination against accents and a discrimination against weight that is still very palpable and unrecognized in our American culture. But in terms of legal ramifications of discrimination, LGBT individuals and people with alternate relationships and identities are discriminated against. So, I mean, if I can bring joy to people that I am in their community, and if I can help advocate for happiness and for, I don't want to say we're normal, because being normal is boring. And I don't want to get into the conservative principles of marriage in and of themselves, but it's important to me that being gay is something that is celebrated in my work. My attraction to people in general and to the female form is something that informs what I do in my own artwork. I always like to be open about my sexuality and have nothing to hide and absolutely nothing to be ashamed about. But it's also not my leading identifier. I'm Deborah. I'm an artist. I'm gay. And I'm super excited to be in this world and in this place, kind of in that order.
You mentioned that your art is also a place, a refuge for you to work through what scares you.
Mm-hmm.
What scares you?
A lot scares me. I went through a journey in my artwork where I was interested in wanting to be honest and truthful and an authority. I didn't want to make art that was derivative. I'm inspired by other artists. My favorite artist is Marcel Duchamp, because I think he has an amazing sense of humor. And one of, I think, the defining characteristics of my personality is a sense of humor. And I decided that self-portraiture was the only way for me to go about making artwork that I was an authority on, that I could be truthful about. But portraying myself or my face while not being self-conscious, it just never interested me. So I was trying to find unconventional ways to pursue self-portraiture. And then I realized that the avenues I was pursuing were problematic and we're reading is very cold and very clinical and very, you know, kind of removed from myself. And I had a realization the first time I did one of my 4x8 foot portrait blocks, wood blocks, that I'm not pursuing self-portraiture. I'm investigating self-escape. And so what scares me, I think, is physical pain. I've dealt, as many people have, with a lot of chronic pain. I have chronic back pain. I also have weird medical allergies. So I feel like medicine and medical terminology I've brought into my work as kind of symbols of the fear. So I did a speculum series for a couple of years where the speculum represented fears about cervical health, which I struggle with, as do many, many women. The idea of the torso kind of and the female body as kind of codified my back pain. And then I started investigating my phobias. I'm terrified of flying. So I had to take Valium to fly, although I've gotten better with exposure therapy because I fly all the time. I'm terrified of spiders, but that hasn't really entered the artwork. That's just a thing. I think most of all, I feel really overwhelmed and anxious about the finality of the body and the sense that this is it and there is no after or there is no other. It's just this moment. And that is very confining and scary. So I try to create something larger than that to believe in.
Your art is a very, I don't want to use the word antiquated, but it's been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. And even your press, Orion, will probably outlive us.
Mm-hmm. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. Knock on wood.
Knock on Parkwood bench.
Right. Being that your artwork has been, I guess, practiced for a very long time, but we live in an age of innovation and the next thing. How do you balance or perceive or embrace innovation when your artwork doesn't necessarily lend itself to the, or maybe the process of your artwork does not necessarily lend itself to that directly?
Sure. Well, I think that our biology, our nature is to strive to make things easier, better, faster, more comfortable, more sustainable. But at the same time, I think that we respond to organic structures, and there is a deep feeling of ritual and we venerate what's come before us and the wisdom of people or concepts or things, you know, from our past. I think conceptually I try to embrace innovation and create new interconnections between performance, document, and printmaking in a way that I haven't observed yet. So it would be fantastic if I was the originator of these kind of questions. I don't know that that's probably the case. But in the same way that there was, I feel like right now there's actually a fallback, kind of a reaction to digital media and innovation in a way. There is kind of embracing the handmade, the antique, the vintage, humor. And so there is a huge upsurgence in letterpress. And I think innovations in papermaking and in ink making make it a lot easier to distribute these antiquated ways of printing. Printmaking is actually pretty new, though, in the history of art. I mean, painting's been around since you know, the earliest that we know about. Photography, when that came around, completely changed the face of art. All of a sudden, the idea of perspective was drastically altered once you started using a picture to frame it. Printmaking, pretty much in all of its facets, was designed as a commercial innovative process. And then once the innovations have moved past the processes that used the printmaking equipment, that's when artists started recognizing the use for their artistic expression. So I think that we represent innovation in antiquity.
I like that. I like that. Deborah, let everyone know how they can get in contact with you and see more of your work.
Well, you can see some of my work currently at the flight exhibit at the airport, which is ironic considering I am scared of flying. And usually my artwork includes plane crashes. This time it's a plane in flight, but of course it's called Icarus. So we'll see how long it stays in the air. I would also, if possible, if you'll allow me, take the opportunity to thank a couple people. I want to thank Daniel Robin, who's been my mentor this year. I want to thank Maggie Genestra, who has been my advocate and director and kind of lodestone this year. And I'd like to thank my friend David Edenbach, who's a writer who recommended me to the Walthall program. My website is my name, DeborahSossauer.com, and you can find my artwork and contact information there. A little bit about Artemis Press and Orion is on the website as well. Or you can email me directly. It's Deborah.Sossauer@gmail.com.
Deborah, thank you.
Floyd, thank you very much.